glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 13th, 2019. One of my favorite days of the week. I love Testimony Tuesdays because we get to share a faith journey that somebody's been on. We get to be blessed by hearing his or her story. And what is that one passage about rubbing shoulders? Iron sharpens iron.
As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another.
Proverbs. That verse.
Encouraging.
Yeah, that's a great verse. Well, tonight, let me point out, at 7 p.m., so if you're hearing the re-airing of this broadcast at 7:32 p.m., I guess you could still race over to Lincoln Square. But at 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to have a special guest in. In fact, back by popular demand, he was here, I guess, 4 or 5 months ago, Pastor Lyndon Allen. He's the Central Regional Coordinator for CUFI, Christians United for Israel. And he'll talk about why is it important to know about Israel and why be supportive of Israel and what's the biblical and historical position the Christians should have. So he'll take us through some history. He's very animated.
Yeah, he is.
He's sharp. We interviewed him during a morning program some months back, but I think you'll be really blessed. It's a free event right here at Lincoln Square. We'll be at the food court, and it's at 7 p.m. So come join us, and there'll be some snacks and treats, probably a prize drawing or two, it'll be a great talk. So that's tonight, 7 p.m. Hope to see you at Lincoln Square right here in downtown Urbana.
You know, I like that phrase, backed by popular demand. That's a fun phrase. And do you realize that you are backed by popular demand, Mark, 4 weekdays a week?
Yes. When I can make it. I know the other day, like on Friday, last Friday, Jason filled in again for me. There's so much going on and different directions I had to take that Jason said, hey, I can solo it.
You're kind of a Gumby guy these days, you know? Different directions. Your arms are going one way.
Yeah. So somebody was talking about genetic research that they were doing.
Oh.
They said, maybe we could clone you, Mark. I thought, I'd like that.
You would?
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. Anyways, I know an individual I'd like to clone. His name is Keith Allen. In fact, thank you, Keith, for coming in early. We probably had, I don't know, 40 or so minute conversation.
Oh, it was longer than that.
Sharing some of our faith journey. Keith is entrepreneurial. I've heard about him for many months from some other friends, and they said, oh, you're going to really like Keith. In fact, we didn't get to talk at all about your singing.
Let's keep on talking. Are you in a quartet,
a group? Tell us a little about
the singing. Yeah, thank you, Mark. My sons, the three of them, and myself, it's called the Allen Quartet.
Oh.
We're ready to have a concert here coming up the 23rd in August at the East Lynn, and we're going to have it with Old Paths Quartet, who is a Southern gospel group. Group that's making the rounds, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock in the park. People can come at 5 o'clock and have hot dogs and this type of thing, but it's going to be a fun time in the Lord, and that's going to be the 23rd of August at 6 o'clock in the park at
August
East
23rd, East Lynn.
Oh, that's really neat.
In East Lynn, Illinois, 6 p.m., but come early and tailgate it or have hot dogs or refreshments. And it's in the park. Is there a location, or would everyone know if they get to East Lynn, they'll know right where the park is?
Yeah, if you drive too fast through East Lynn, you might miss it.
It's
got a big cross in the park. It's just in the middle of town. We're still undecided, and we're not going to charge anything for it. It might be a free will off. Possibly, but in any event, it's going to be a kind of a get together for a community, as well as everybody's invited. They're going to bring their own chairs, bring your own lawn chairs, and just set out in the park and have a good time.
Okay, that's Friday night, August 23rd, East Lynn, 6 p.m. Be there or get talked about.
This is really interesting. How did you and your sons ever start singing together?
Years ago, I was singing as a soloist. I had a concert with Gary McSpadden, who used to be with the Gaithers, and he's a pastor now, I think, down in Missouri. A wonderful guy, and I had that concert with him, and after we got through talking, he says, you know, when time goes on and the boys get older, people want to hear quartets, which they do. Mm-hmm. And he says, I encourage you to do that with your boys, and it was a great idea, and I started doing that with my boys at a very young age, and over the years, we've kind of grown up to that, and uh, now they're, my one son's 38 and 34, and the other one's 33, I think. And we don't get a lot of chance to go like we'd like to because we're busy with our businesses. But when we do, we enjoy it very much.
Well, this is very cool.
And when you mention your businesses, I had always heard you were entrepreneurial type. In fact, we have some good chemistry was going on here. I think we, like you said, talked for 45 minutes or maybe an hour or so on just some practical insights into the business world, into vision casting, into techniques or tools or how it all works. Now, I know you from A Quality Solutions just because of the water business that you do. In fact, you brought in some water. I appreciate the 5-gallon drums or what do we call those? 5-gallon containers, jugs.
Yeah.
And so A Quality, I think, is something you've been doing for 7 or 8 or a number of years.
It's going on 9th year.
And then a fertilizer business. What's that called? Something like Custom Applications?
Yeah, it's Eastland Fertilizer is the name of the company. I started back in 1980. That's a part of what we do. We have A Quality Solutions that does soft water business. It used to belong to the EI facility in Paxton, and we ended up buying that out about 9 years ago and moved it to Hoopston to a place called KBA Limited. It was an older sweet corn producing factory that I purchased back in 03, I think it was. It's a warehouse and food grade warehouse facility as well. And then we also, in our spare time, we farm.
Tell me about the middle child, your middle son. I'm a middle child.
Oh, well,
and so I always like to hear about middle children.
What an unusual
question. Is he entrepreneurial type? Is he a go-getter?
Very much so. His name's Gordon.
I always like to know about middle children because they weren't the firstborn, and they weren't
the last born
or the baby that got pampered sometimes. So the middle child always had to work for attention.
I cannot believe we're doing this.
And so I always, when anyone's a middle child themselves or they have a middle child, I always like to know how the middle child turned out. So he's a good guy.
I am aghast.
Yes.
All middle children.
He's more or less my general manager. I rely on Gordon a lot. I rely on the other two boys, too, but in different facets. They all have their strengths. Mm-hmm. And I have Gordon, he kind of oversees everything for me. And if I have questions, if I'm gone, which I'm gone quite a bit, he always calls me and we talk things out. And I rely on him heavily. I rely on all the boys, but he's my general manager.
Yeah, see, the middle children, we're like the negotiator, we're the counselors, we're between the two. So that's a real tendency
I'm a youngest child, so we're having an issue here.
You're a spoiled brat.
I was not.
So anyway, but I've appreciated just some of your wisdom, Keith, on some of the practical side of running a business or operating. And so we've talked a whole host of things. But one thing that I learned and really was touched by, the concept that you talked about waiting on the Lord and how tough that is for all of us and some of the lessons that you've learned, like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm just sensing that I'm getting so consumed by this. And I think many men and women, that you kind of have a vision for something or an idea and you get consumed by it. You get overwhelmed by it because you're thinking about it day and night, and maybe sometimes the family can be shortchanged because you're consumed or every waking moment is how can I pull this together. And you were sharing how God brought you to a point where you had to really step back and evaluate, Lord, I think this is taken over. This is unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody that's maybe in the midst of a business acquisition or maybe they're consumed with their family, like everything's about my children, how did God take you through that so that as you, in hindsight, if you will, you look back and you say, you know, thank you, Lord, as tough as some of the things I had to go through were, gave me greater insights into your love, your care, and what you want me to learn through this.
Yeah, normally, that's a great question. There's just so many things out there that want to take our time. Mm-hmm. And what I found for myself, as far as I've got to pick and choose, and sometimes I'm thinking, well, I want to do this. I want to go out and, okay, I think, well, is it going to rob time from my wife? Is it going to rob time from my businesses? Or And you have to stop and you have to ask the Lord, is this something you want to do? I recall a time several years ago where I was purchasing the KBA Limited facility, and I think I shared this with you, Mark, but it really meant a lot to me knowing that, boy, here's something that I'm being considered for because it was a large facility. You know, a man, for example, wants to have that feeling of security that he's arrived or I'm capable of doing this. And sometimes that consumes you. I mean, and in my case, I'm a little more, I guess, energetic when it comes to something like that. I want to get things done. I try to push. And in this situation, I was pushing to purchase this facility. And when I wanted to push it even more, I found it was pushing itself away from me. And I finally stopped and I said, Lord, you really don't want me to have this facility, do you? And I surrendered. And with that aspect of it, what does that mean? What's the matter? I wanted that so bad that I was going to do whatever it took to get it. And when you're like that, and men are like that in a lot of cases, and well, some women are too. But when that happens, it takes your focus, what I call, off the ball.
Right.
Where is your desires? What's the desire of your heart? And I see so many families that they stop, well, I have to spend more time with my kids. So what is the focus on a dad? What is he supposed to do? Well, he needs to spend more time with his kids. And there's a lot of truth to that. But when my thought process was when I was growing up is as an individual that wanted to start and be successful is unfortunately that business takes a lot of your time. And it's like anything else. If it's a little child, that child that you have, it takes a lot of your time until it gets to a certain age, and then it can pretty well take over for itself. But in my case, what I've tried to do is when I see the things where I failed, and one of them is the time that I spent with my family might have been not enough, maybe what in some people's standards, but it's the quality of time that you spend with that individual. And like when I'm getting back with my boys, we come and just firing up our unit and sitting down and singing together. That fellowship is huge. And whenever we go to concerts or something like that and people would come up to us and they'd say, wow, that's really impressive that you guys can sing together. And each one of you have different parts. We got a bass, lead, you know, sing tenor. And all of them wish that they would have had that opportunity. So I'm blessed that we're able to do that. Right. And even to this day, the boys see the value in it, and they still want to take time to make it work so we can do that because they enjoy that. But my point is when I was going after getting back to this business aspect of it, my thoughts were, I can't take time to wait on the Lord. It's too slow. And I was so wrong because every time I pushed for that, it went farther. And like I said before, when I asked the Lord, I says, you don't want me to have this. And I walked away from it. And it was about 6 to 8 months later that I got a call from the place that we were trying to do business with. And I was trying to buy it about 3 years. It took 3 years to get to that point when I walked away. And 6 months later, it came back. And the Lord will give you the desires of the heart if you wait on it. And so I find a lot of people out there that I've talked to over the years that ask me questions, and they'll say, I'd like to do it this way. I'd like to get here. And I said, well, especially it's increasingly tough when they don't know the Lord because you try to tell them that concept, and they don't get it. But that, in my mind, in my life, I owe everything to Christ.
You said something earlier, and I wrote it down, true success is knowing Christ, and that was part of your faith journey. You said, Mark, you know, that's the true measure of successful life is that intimacy, knowing God, knowing of God's love, allowing Him to work through, in your case, your family, your business, the various opportunities. You shared a time where, you know, you were consumed with work and working hard, and was it a conveyor belt, something that you were moving because you had to get get things done and you have all these projects, you have to make money because a good thing. You want to provide for your family. Your wife's pregnant. You know, you have a son coming along. Lord, I'm just going to work hard. I got to take steps. I got to take measures. I got to do this. And yet God had something else in mind. But it was a life lesson that you're still learning because you still have the aches and pains and the operations and the consequences of something happening. And yet you said a strange thing. You said, you know, Mark, I wouldn't have wanted him to take that away because of the experience. And yet it's still painful to this day.
Yeah, it is. It was years ago when I started the fertilizer side of it. I was comparing myself to other places, and that's something you don't want to do. You don't want to compare yourself. You compare yourself to yourself. And I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. And, you know, it's hard for me to talk about it. But, you know, conveyor fell on me out of my own ignorance. And it was a painful situation. And I didn't know going to the hospital if I was going to make it or not. And it was a few days before we could evaluate what the damages were. But it shocked me. And I remember the peace that came over me on my way to the hospital, because as I mentioned before, I looked over at my wife. She was pregnant with our middle son. And I thought, I'm never going to be able to see that little guy. But I thought, you know, it's okay. And then all of a sudden the pain started coming in, and it said, ooh. And I remember even at my tender age, and I was only 21, 22, 23 years old, and I thought, you know, Lord, take me. Take me. I can't stand this pain. My selfish desire was to die. And because I had peace. And God gives me that peace. And I've always wondered over the years, Mark, I mean, when people pass away or they're getting ready to, you know, oh, I mean, I wonder what it's going to be like to die. Mm-hmm. With that situation, he gives you a peace. Yeah. And there's no question about that in my mind.
Wow.
But what I'm looking at now, though, is when that happened to me, when that conveyor hit me.
And you had said some ribs were broken, pelvis, or
yeah, I lost a kneecap. I lost broke a pelvic.
It
damaged my backbone, concussion, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, wow. You know, after some operations and over the time that that happened, today I just had an operation back in January and for my back. And even though I have these pains and I have reminders, they are reminders. Mm. And I'm thankful that I'm not alive.
Yeah,
but on the other side of it, I'm thankful I have those injuries because it does remind me of what Christ has done for me.
It changed your life.
What's
it? It changed your life.
It changed my life. Yeah.
It helps put things in perspective.
Yeah.
Because at the time, you're doing a good thing. You're working hard because you're wanting to achieve things to provide for the family. But it was kind of a little out of order. Instead of relying on God or just trusting in him to provide, you're like most men and women. You want to be successful. You want to work hard. You want to achieve. And yet it gave you maybe a crystal clear understanding of what's the most important. My family is the most important. Time with them and time with the Lord,
right.
Which is what you were saying. True success is knowing Christ. And who was influential in just our closing 3 or 4 minutes? Who were those people that helped you gain that insight that God loves you, that God cared for you?
When I was a young, I was fortunate enough to be born into a Christian family. I, like all of us, go through growing pains as far as coping with that. But I realized early the benefit of having to know Christ. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it's like for people that haven't known that to all of a sudden discover it. In some ways, it's good to have been raised that way, but in other ways, it can be a detriment too. And it just depends. So you have to, it seems like you have to transition into things before it's a growing process. So I would have to say my mother's passed away now, but she was a real inspiration for me knowing and staying with Christ. As time went on, there was other people that stepped in, and I'm fortunate today to have some wonderful pastor friends and people like yourselves that we can bounce things off of. It, like you mentioned, steel on steel. That's hugely important.
Yeah, we had some worship time going on here before we began this broadcast and testimony time and vision casting, how we saw God at work in the future and how we pray he continues to lead and guide us. And we talked about, you know, one of my favorite verses, that Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, whatever, whether it's a sport, a hobby, parenting, going to class, you know, your work, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. But why? As working for the Lord and not for men. Yes, you could be paid by the University of Illinois, paid by Equality Solutions, paid by State Farm or whatever your business is. But who are you ultimately working for? Who are you trying to serve? Mm-hmm. And that's that benefit, that privilege, that opportunity. We get to serve the Lord today, paid by a company or a situation, but our activities can be God-honoring. And
you know, I kind of feel like I need to start reading the book of Colossians. That has come up with Ruthie Counter. It's come up here with you, Keith. I mean, it's like everywhere I turn, someone's talking about Colossians. And you said it's one of your favorite verses,
chapter
Mark.
3 is one of my favorites. I just absolutely love it. Yeah. And then that 3:2, which was mentioned last week, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, which, you know, that's, I think, true for so many of us. We can get caught up in a good thing, our career, our position, whatever we're doing, even in parenting.
Or being a middle child,
stuff like that. Oh, that everyone could be that middle child.
We are not done with this conversation, folks. No, we're not.
Well, Keith, we just so appreciate you carving out time all the way down from Hoopston.
Down and over,
All right. And thank you for your ad in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times for Equality Solutions.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're drinking the clean, clear, triple treated osmosis water. Real pure water.
All those words.
Yeah. And those of you out in the country that have that well water with that taste, we recommend. Look at this month's edition of the Prime Life Times. There's a great ad in there. You might see their vehicle driving around.
Yeah.
You cover East Central Illinois and making inroads into Indiana.
That is correct. Yeah. So we're roughly a 100-mile radius from Hoopston, and even in Indiana, we have a bunch of great guys and gals working for us, and our three sons, they help periodically, like with the maintenance and stuff like that on it and that type of thing. But they're not interrelated with the everyday running of the company. But I have managers. The Shipperts are been with the company for an awfully long time. Yeah. Used to own it years ago, and I've got very good folks working there as we do.
Sounds like they've got a good boss.
Yeah, I've heard some people say, God's the CEO and I'm just like the worker bee or something.
You know, I think that's wonderful, but I'm not going to help you with a single thing until we get this middle child thing ended.
Go middle children today. Impact your world. Be that fragrance of Christ to those around you. And thanks for carving out time to be tuned in to our broadcast today. And don't forget, tonight, 7 p.m., if you can still make it over to Lincoln Square, we'll have a visit with Pastor Lyndon Allen. He's CUFI Central Regional Coordinator, CUFI standing for Christians United for Israel. It'll be a great subject, great treats, and you might even be able to win a prize. So we'll see you at 7 p.m. tonight. Thank you, Keith, for driving in and being a part of today's broadcast, Testimony Tuesday, one of my favorite days.
Yeah.
If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and you can always share it with a friend. And thank you for your faith journey, Keith.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. All right, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.